Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Well, hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. Nathaniel, where is Carolyn?
Well, she was getting ready, but she's not here. She's usually not late.
I know. She's usually a very punctual person.
Really, she is.
You know what? Yesterday, she kept interrupting us.
She did keep interrupting us yesterday. She kept doing that. She was.
Yeah.
She was so.
It was a bit unusual.
Yeah, I thought
hey,
so.
Guys.
You know, I kind of. Oh.
Hi,
Carolyn.
Hi.
Hey, what are you guys talking about?
Well, nothing. We're just glad you're here.
We are glad you're here.
Oh, great. Well, are you ready to start?
Yes. Now we can introduce ourselves. My name is Gabe.
I'm Carolyn.
And I am Nathaniel.
And you are here today. We're continuing a lesson called Betrayed. Yesterday, we enjoyed hearing a conversation between two sisters, Kelly and Sarah. What were they talking about? Well, one sister thought that her sister should take revenge on one of her friends. We're going to continue listening to this conversation. Let's do that now.
Betrayed.
Well, you have to do something. Otherwise, Veronica will keep taking advantage of you and telling your secrets.
I don't know if I would say she's taking advantage of me. She probably just forgot that I told her to keep it secret.
That seems very unlikely. This is not the first time you've come home upset that Veronica betrayed your trust.
Yeah, maybe you're right. But I don't want to confront her. It might hurt our friendship.
Hi, friends. It's your word, Lady Joanna. It's the second day of our Point of View article, and we're talking about what to do when a friend betrays you. Here is your vocabulary for today. Take advantage of somebody. Take advantage of somebody is a phrasal verb. Tina loves to help people, but sometimes they take advantage of her. Confront. Confront is a verb. I am going to confront my sister and tell her to pick up her dirty clothes. Discourage. Discourage is a verb. You should discourage your dog from jumping on the furniture. Out of line. Out of line is an idiom. Ian was out of line when he yelled at his mom. Apology. Apology is a noun. You should give her an apology and tell her you're sorry. Has a friend ever betrayed you? What did you do? Think about it while we finish the article.
Well, it sounds like Kelly is having a really hard time. So, are you guys gonna do the role play again? Are you Sarah?
Yes, I'm Sarah.
Okay. Who are you going to be?
I'm still Kelly.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
Okay,
good. Let me start. Okay. Well, you have to do something. Otherwise, Veronica will keep taking advantage of you and telling your secrets.
Oh.
Huh?
Taking advantage. That's a key word. So let's take a minute and look at this phrase. Taking advantage of somebody. So here it sounds like Veronica is taking advantage of Kelly's friendship, which is not a very nice thing to do.
No, it's not.
Can you think of another way that you might take advantage of something that's a little more positive?
Oh, well, yeah, actually, usually I think of this in a negative way, but I guess you're right. It can be positive, too. If you take advantage of something, that could be positive. You can take advantage of something that you have. That means you put it to good use. I have a car and a bike. I should take advantage of these things that I have. I don't want to just let my car sit there. I should drive my car and I should ride my bike. I'm putting these things to good use. I'm taking advantage of them. So that's the positive way that you can use this phrase.
Absolutely. That's a very good thing that you should take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
So, Nathaniel, can you think of any other things that you could take advantage of?
Yes, I take advantage of my extra time to get a short nap.
Oh, so you like to take a rest when you have a little extra time, and you take advantage of it. That's great.
I think that's a good idea, to take advantage of the free time that you have, to relax, do something different. So those are the positive ways that you can use this phrase, but how is it different from the negative, Carolyn?
Well, here we see that they're taking advantage of someone being their friend. So rather than helping someone, you might be hurting them, taking advantage of a situation.
That's right. So you can take advantage of something. That's a good thing. But if you talk about taking advantage of somebody, that's almost always a negative thing. You don't want to be taken advantage of. And so that's what Sarah says. Veronica will keep taking advantage of you and telling your secrets if you don't say something or do something. Well, Nathaniel, I think it's time for you to continue as Kelly.
I don't know if I would say she's taking advantage of me. She probably just forgot that I told her to keep it secret.
That seems very unlikely.
Oh, unlikely? So it probably isn't true? Is that what you mean?
Yes, it seems unlikely. Probably not. That's what unlikely means. If something is unlikely, it means it probably is not true. It probably won't happen. So how else can you use this word? Well, it's unlikely that it will rain today. The weather forecast said it was going to be good weather. How else could you use this word?
It's very unlikely that it would snow in July.
That is extremely unlikely. Very unlikely. So yes, Sarah says it seems very unlikely because this is not the first time you've come home upset that Veronica betrayed your trust.
Oh, betrayed your trust. Now, here we have another key word, guys. We have to take a moment and look at this. Betray someone's trust or betray one's trust is not a very good thing to do. Mm. And it's very similar in meaning to just saying betray.
Okay, yeah. The words betray and betray someone's trust. Well, how are they different? Our lesson is called betrayed, and that's an adjective. I feel betrayed. To betray is a verb. And then we see here another phrase, betray someone's trust. Well, how are these things different, Carolyn?
Well, they're not too different, but if you say betray one's trust, then you really want to point out that this person has really hurt you because you trusted them with something. And then they did something they shouldn't have.
Yeah, I like that. Sometimes maybe someone tells you, oh, I won't do this. And then they go and do it. Then that is betraying your trust. But if they didn't say, I won't do this, if they hurt you, you still feel betrayed. But maybe it's not betraying your trust. Maybe it doesn't feel as bad as if they said, I won't do it.
This is very true. Well, I really want to find out what happens next. Will you guys keep going?
Of course, Kelly.
Certainly. Yeah, maybe you're right, but I don't want to confront her. It might hurt our friendship.
Oh, we have another key word. Thanks, Nathaniel, for bringing up confront. So here, if you confront someone, then you approach them and talk to them about a problem. Have you ever confronted anyone, Nathaniel?
Yes, there have been times when I've confronted people. I directed some plays when I was in college, so sometimes when they weren't doing something right, even if I thought that maybe they wouldn't like what I was going to say, I would have to confront them and say, I need you to do this differently.
Oh, well, it's very important if there's a problem, then you should confront them. What do you think, Gabe?
Oh, no. Oh, no, I don't like confronting people. I mean, I know I need to sometimes, but it's not easy to confront people because I don't like pointing out that they did something wrong. I would like to think that it's easy for people to confront me. I want people to tell me if I did something wrong, but I know that's not always the case. Some people don't like confronting me, too. But I think confronting is something we should all learn how to do.
Well, maybe they just don't want to hurt your friendship.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Sometimes you just don't want to hurt a friendship. Well, with that, I think it's time for us to do something a little different. Let's go and hang out with Michelle. She's in the language lab waiting for us. Let's go and find out what she has to say. Hey there, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Michelle, 接下来我们看的是 take advantage of someone 这个动词片语 advantage 是指利益或好处 所以 take advantage of someone 是指欺骗某人 或者是占某人的便宜 例如 William used to take advantage of his friends and he ended up losing them William 以前占朋友的便宜 结果就是他失去了朋友 继续我们看的是 confront 这个动词 confront 是指勇敢的面对或对抗 例如, Karen finally found the courage to confront her neighbor who was always stealing her newspaper. Karen 终于鼓起勇气去面对那位总是偷她报纸的邻居。 或者是, I get so nervous when confronted with strangers. 我面对陌生人的时候会变得很紧张。
Today we've been listening to a conversation between two sisters, Sarah and Kelly. Kelly is having some problems with her friend Veronica, who might be taking advantage of her. But Kelly is really worried and doesn't want to confront her about the problem. But her sister Sarah thinks that she should, because it's a real problem. So let's continue listening to their conversation and see what they decide to do.
Betrayed.
So what kind of friendship is that? I know you don't like conflict, but you should still talk to her. You need to discourage her from doing this kind of thing in the future. Talking to her might help, but it also might make her really mad. Why should she get mad? She's the one who's out of line. She needs to know you're upset. Not to mention she owes you an apology. Thanks for the advice. I need to think a little bit more about how to handle this.
So, what was the secret anyway?
Ha! I'm not telling you!
Ha! Kelly's not even going to share that secret with her own sister. Well, too many people know the secret as it is. Friends, there are many things we can learn from this conversation. Many good English points. Let me begin with Sarah's lines. So, what kind of friendship is that? I know you don't like conflict, but you should still talk to her.
Whoa, conflict? You mean she might get into a fight?
Well, yeah, a fight.
No, we don't want to have a fight. Conflicts can be very difficult to get through. Because you really don't want to fight your friends. But conflict can have a couple other meanings, too. Nathaniel, can you think of another way to use conflict?
Yes, I think we often use the word conflict when we're talking about our schedules. Oh, I can't do that. I have a time conflict. I've already scheduled something at 2 o'clock, so I cannot meet with you then.
Oh, so it doesn't have to mean a fight. It can just mean something isn't going to work because they can't work together.
That's right. So it could be things don't work together. But of course, often we use this to talk about some kind of fight. And a fight doesn't have to be with your arms physically fighting. It could be an argument. Or if you confront somebody, that could be seen as a conflict too. Because the other person might not necessarily like that you brought the subject up. It could be a conflict. Well, thank you for interrupting again, Carolyn, to teach us that word.
Sure.
And shall I continue?
Oh, absolutely. I really want to hear the two of you talk, yes.
Excellent, excellent. Where was I? I know you don't like conflict, but you should still talk to her. You need to discourage her from doing this kind of thing in the future.
Oh, discourage. That's a key word here.
Yes, it is.
So, if you want to discourage something from happening, it means that you want to convince someone not to do it anymore. Can you think of anything that you might discourage someone from doing, Gabe?
Yes, I can, actually. I have some friends who like to smoke, and I discourage them from smoking. I have some friends who like to drink too much. I discourage them from drinking. And I think there's just bad behaviors come to mind when I think about discouraging people. You want to discourage bad behaviors.
Yeah, those can be very bad for your health. So it's good that you're discouraging your friends and trying to encourage them to do better things for their lives. What about you, Nathaniel?
I was thinking of using this word in a little bit different way. The basketball team was discouraged after losing their first game. Discouraged here is an adjective, not a verb like the other examples. But it's another good way to use this word.
That's right. Discouraged. Do you feel discouraged? I hope not. I hope you feel encouraged. Well, Carolyn also used this word encourage as a noun. You can discourage someone from doing something or encourage someone to do something. Actually, I often hear about kids telling jokes that are a little inappropriate. Sometimes I want to laugh, but if I laugh, that encourages them to keep telling those kinds of jokes. So be careful when you laugh at people, because it might encourage them to keep doing something not so good. You want to discourage them from doing these kinds of things. Well, I think we should continue our conversation, Kelly. What's your next line?
Talking to her might help, but it also might make her really mad.
Why should she get mad? Wait, why should she get mad? If you have your magazine open, you know this word, she, looks a little different. It's in italics. It is italicized. I think Ken and Steve have something they want to share about that in the information cloud. So, let's go and join them right now. Hey, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Italics, that fancy font that makes letters lean slightly to the right, was first used by an Italian printer in 1501. Now, 500 years later, should we still use them?
Well, our computer can italicize words quite easily now, so we should use italics. We should use them when we're writing the name of a book. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone should be italicized.
Also, when we're writing the name of a big vehicle like the Titanic. Now, when else should we use italics, Ken?
Italics are also used to create emphasis in writing, which brings more clarity and meaning to the text.
In today's lesson, Sarah says, why should she get mad? The author wants us to be sure the word she is read with emphasis. Doing so brings extra meaning to the word, meaning that's not explained in the dialogue.
It helps us to understand Sarah's thinking, which is Veronica has no right to be angry. In fact, if anyone should be mad, it should be Kelly.
Because of the italicized word, we get the feeling that Sarah is getting a little mad herself. See? More meaning just because one little word is italicized.
Italics 就是斜体字，它的动词 italicize 就是使用斜体字。那什么时候需要用到斜体字呢？一般而言，我们要用斜体字来表示可以独立存在的事物的名称。因此书名，像小说的名称、剧本的名称、报纸杂志的名称都要用斜体字来表示。另外交通工具的名称，像 Titanic 铁达尼号也要用斜体字。还有就是我们可以用斜体字来强调说话的语气。像今天课文中 Sarah 说 Why should she get mad? She 在这里用了斜体字，表示她在强调 she 为什么她会生气，是她自己言行不当， 他自己应该跟你道歉的才对呀。这里也听得出 Sarah 自己呢有一点愤愤不平哦。这就是今天的 Info Cloud， 我们下次云端见。
Thank you guys. Well, let me continue as Sarah. She's the one who's out of line.
Oh, out of line. So here we've got this great key word phrase, out of line. It means that she's not really doing what she's supposed to be doing. Nathaniel, do you know anyone who's ever been out of line?
I did think of the sentence about using this term. The soldier was out of line when he disobeyed orders. He did not do what he was supposed to do, so he was out of line.
Oh, so it doesn't mean that they're actually standing out of line. It means they're doing something they really shouldn't. Okay, well, go right ahead. Continue on.
Okay, I will. She's the one who's out of line. She needs to know you're upset. Not to mention she owes you an apology.
Oh, apology? There's another key word. So she needs to apologize or say that she's sorry for what she did if she owes someone an apology. And this phrase, to owe an apology. Gabe, have you ever felt like you owed someone an apology?
Oh, often. I often do things that I will owe an apology for. I have to say, I'm sorry. I apologize. I owe you an apology. Sometimes I will write an apology letter. It's not fun owing people an apology. Well, I'm not sorry about this. We need to go and spend some time at the grammar gym. Here we go.
How are you doing today, friends? Thanks for joining me here at the Grammar Gym. My name is Liz. In today's lesson, we find Sarah and Kelly talking about Veronica. Sarah says to Kelly that Veronica needs to know that Kelly is upset. Then she says, not to mention, she owes you an apology. That's our grammar tip sentence. Our focus today is on the phrase, not to mention. It is another way to say, in addition to, or plus. We use this phrase when we are talking about something and we want to give more information. For example, Roger didn't want to go running because he was lazy. Not to mention, it's raining too. Or, let's not have seafood for dinner. It's expensive. Not to mention, some of us are allergic to seafood. If you have a copy of this month's magazine with you, be sure to check out today's grammar tip section for more example sentences. And that's all the time we have for today. This is Liz from the Grammar Gym. See you next time.
Thanks, Liz. And thanks for the advice, Sarah. I need to think a little bit more about how to handle this.
So, what was the secret anyway?
I'm not telling you.
I don't want to know. Nice job, Kelly.
And you too, Sarah. I really thought you were like my sister.
It was great. Like sister, and teachers here at Studio Classroom. Friends, right now it's time for us to continue with Michelle in the Language Lab.
继续我们来看 out of line 这个成语。out of line 是指言行或举止不当的。例如 Peggy was way out of line when she got mad at her boss at the meeting. Peggy 在会议中对老板发火实在是太过分了。或者是 Victor was out of line when he quarreled with his teacher. Victor 和老师吵架是非常不当的。最后我们看 Grammar Gym 里面的 not to mention 的用法。Not to mention 是指更不用提某件事或更不用说，也就是要补充前面发生的事。例如 Jack works day and night because he has 3 kids. Not to mention he has to take care of his parents too. Jack 日以继夜的工作，因为他有三个孩子，此外他还要抚养他的父母。 And let's get back to teachers.
We spent all this time talking about bald eagles, but we wondered if you have actually seen a bald eagle. I don't remember ever seeing one, but Carolyn, have you ever seen a bald eagle?
I have seen a bald eagle, actually, several times. The first time I saw one was at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. at the zoo. But I've also seen them in the wild because they frequently come to West Virginia.
That is so cool. I would love to see one in the wild. I, too, have seen one at a zoo. There was a couple of bald eagles, a pair of bald eagles. One was actually lame. It could not fly. It was kind of sad, but I was glad I got to see a bald eagle. Have you seen a bald eagle, Nathaniel?
Like I said, I just really don't remember having seen one, but maybe sometime, and I've just forgotten.
Sometime you will see a bald eagle. Well, friends, you can learn more about bald eagles here in your magazine, actually. There are some fun facts about bald eagles. And, of course, we have more to learn next time right here at Studio Classroom. We'll see you then. Goodbye.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. When the master stood up and looked at the school, everyone felt fear, even those who knew nothing about the cause of his anger.
Who tore this book?
There was not a sound. The master looked at face after face. Then,
Benjamin Rogers, did you tear this book?
No.
Joseph Harper, did you?
No. The master looked closely at the faces of all the boys. Then he turned to the girls.
Amy Lawrence?
No.
Gracie Miller?
No.
Susan Harper, did you do this?
No. The next girl was Becky Thatcher.
Rebecca Thatcher?
Tom looked at her face. It was white with terror.
Did you tear? No. Look at me. Did you tear this book?
Tom stood up and shouted,
I did it!
The school couldn't understand this madness. Tom was surprised himself. But when he went to the front of the class to take his punishment, the surprise, the thanks, even the love that shone on him out of poor Becky's eyes seemed enough to pay for 100 beatings.